Let's read together Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 34. In these verses, we read about two more miracles of the Lord Jesus. In these two miracles, we see our Lord's power over nature and his power over demons. Let's begin by reading verses 23 through 27. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's begin our studies this morning with some background notes. The critics of the Bible have a hard time with the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They try to say that the miracles of Jesus never really took place. They are only exaggerations of the early church. They say that the early Christians changed the real Jesus of history, who was only a good man, into the Christ of faith, who was God and did miracles. Well, there are a lot of arguments that we can use to shoot down this heretical attitude. But consider this illustration. I think everyone would agree that Abraham Lincoln was a good man and did a lot of great things. But do you think that we could change Abraham Lincoln into a miracle worker and give him divine status? I mean, get people to believe that he miraculously fed 5,000 people at Gettysburg and walked across the Potomac River at Washington? Of course not. No matter how gradual were the exaggerations we added, we would not be able to change history that drastically, no matter when we started the exaggerations. And don't let the critics say, well, people were more gullible back in those Bible days. Remember, we are talking about Jewish people in reference to someone who claimed to be the Messiah. If anything, they were less gullible than people today. And remember this as well. The unbelieving critics of Jesus' day never doubted the miracles of Jesus of Nazareth. This is a well-established historical fact, even apart from the Bible. The miracles of Jesus proved that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the promised Messiah and Son of God. Now, in the miracle before us, we see the Lord's supernatural power over the natural world. Only God could do such a miracle. No wonder the disciples exclaimed in verse 27, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord Jesus has power over nature. The Lord Jesus has power over nature. You know, I've been to the Sea of Galilee a number of times on my Holy Land tours, and I don't think that I've ever seen a day go by where there hasn't been good wind for sailing in the afternoon and early evening on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, I've windsurfed on the Sea of Galilee a number of times. I've even had to be rescued on the Sea of Galilee. Quite often, during certain times of the year, big windstorms can arise suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. Winds sweep down from the Golan Heights in the north and whip up big waves in no time. Fishing boats of the first century could easily be swamped and begin to sink. Incidentally, a few years ago, a first century fishing boat was found buried in the mud along the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's preserved now and can be seen in a museum on the grounds of the Naf Ginassar kibbutz, right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They call it the Jesus boat for obvious reasons. Notice how the full humanity and the full deity of our Lord are brought out in this miracle. As man, he fell asleep in the boat because he was tired. As God, he calmed the storm. Throughout the Old Testament, we read of miracles where God's power was seen over nature. the dividing of the Red Sea at the time of Moses, the sun standing still at the time of Joshua, the rains being withheld at the time of Elijah, and so on. So when we see our Lord's power over nature here, in the calming of the sea, it is evidence of his deity. Now let me ask you this morning, does our Lord still have power over the laws of nature? Of course he does. He's the creator. Example, when the British troops had to retreat across the English Channel from Dunkirk during World War II, the Lord brought an unusually calm sea and heavy fog in answer to many prayers. The Lord Jesus has power over nature, and the Lord can control the laws of nature today and can answer prayers in reference to nature. And just because it rained on your beach party does not mean that God lost his power over nature for that day. The Lord Jesus has power over nature. Doctrine point number two, the Lord Jesus has power over demons. The Lord Jesus has power over demons. Verses 28 through 34. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes or Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. This miracle is also recorded in the Gospels of Mark and Luke with a notable difference. I'm reading Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And now I'm reading Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Now, did you notice a significant difference between Matthew's account of this miracle and these accounts in Mark and Luke? In Matthew, there are two demon-possessed men, and in Mark and Luke, there is one demon-possessed man. Now, is this a contradiction in the Bible? No. It would be a contradiction if Mark and Luke said there was one and only one demon-possessed man. But they don't say that. There were two demon-possessed men, and Mark and Luke select one of them, probably the more outspoken one, or the more violent one, or maybe the one who requested to go with the Lord and the disciples after he was healed. You see, many times the gospel writers will select different aspects of the same event that they write about. They did not copy one another. They were independent writers, so there will be differences, but not contradictions. In this miracle, we see our Lord's power over the demonic world. Demons are evil spirit beings under Satan's control. But because God is all-powerful, omnipotent, and Jesus is God, the demons must submit to the authority of Christ. Notice from verse 29 that the demons know who Jesus is, the Son of God. In fact, demons are quite orthodox in their belief. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." James 2:19. But demons are not saved. Matthew 25, verse 41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And here in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 8, we see that demons know their eternal doom. So faith, then, is more than belief, isn't it? Salvation is more than just believing the facts, like the demons believe the facts. Saving faith is trusting Christ as your personal Savior because He died for your sins. Question: why did the Lord let the demons go into the pigs, which resulted in the pigs running into the Sea of Galilee and drowning? Now, we may not know all the answers here, but let me mention a couple of points to keep in mind. The country of the Gadarenes was on the distant side of the Sea of Galilee. The herdsmen here were probably Jews, and according to the Mosaic law, raising swine would be considered illegal. Notice how the herdsmen do not find fault with Jesus. They just ask him to leave. Verse 34. This miracle certainly teaches that even though God created the animal kingdom, people are more important to God than animals. Now, do we think this way? That people are more important than animals? Are our unsaved neighbors, for example, more important to us than our animal pets? These demon-possessed social outcasts running around in the tombs were more important to the Lord than a whole herd of pigs. The Lord Jesus has power over demons. Practical application. How big is your faith? How big is your faith? In verse 26, the Lord told his disciples that they were men of little faith. Why? Because they were scared during the storm. Verse 26 again, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? So they were scared during the storm. Now, I think I would have been scared too. What about you? Have you ever been in a storm in a small boat on a big lake? I remember being in the middle of a big lake in a canoe with my son once during a big windstorm. It was kind of a scary experience, let me tell you. But the disciples should not have been afraid because the Lord was there with them. Now, do you see the lesson here for us in the storms of life? Certainly, that's part of the teaching of this miracle. The Lord is with us if we're believers. The Lord Jesus, remember, said he would never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. Whether it be a literal storm or one of the storms of life, we don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with us. Let me ask you this morning, are you going through some storm in your life right now? In reference to your health, in reference to your marriage, in reference to your family, in reference to your job or business? Listen, you don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with you in the storm, and He can calm your troubled heart if you call on Him. How big is your faith?